Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hi, welcome to today's program. Great to have you tuned in. I'm Neil Stavem. This is Connecting Faith, and we're looking forward to a good conversation this hour. Ted, we've got a room full of guests.
Yeah, you were just saying before we hit the air, it takes a village.
Yeah, it takes a while. many of our guests are part of a Stadium Village Church.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about international student ministries, and apparently it takes a village to create an international student ministry outreach. No, we're going to find out. We've got a great group of friends that have come back to join us today, and we're excited to introduce them to you. And I wanted to say, too, if you have been involved in international student ministry in some form or another, we'd love to have you join the conversation, or if it's something that you maybe feel God's prompting, and we're hoping by the end of the hour that that will be the case. And maybe you just have a specific question that we don't address, feel free to give us a call. We're going to open up the phone lines right away at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. And we'll tell you about a couple of events that are going on for those, particularly in the Twin Cities area, that are coming up here soon, ways that you can get plugged in immediately. And there's some real need and opportunity to make some good friends and connections. So we'll give you some information on that as we go along. But, you know, if you're listening around in Fargo-Moorhead or Sioux Falls or Madison or Waterloo, just encourage you to connect with maybe your local church or campus ministry. Find out about opportunities there so that you can get plugged in. Well, let me introduce our guests, and we'll jump into today's program. Kathleen McCosco is a pastor at Stadium Village Church in the Twin Cities. Kathleen and her husband work at the campus of the University of Minnesota. Her husband's a professor. And she has lived in six countries overseas, experienced being a high school exchange student, a foreign college student, and a mother with four children living in a foreign land, and has come to really love international student ministries. We're going to find out about a little bit about her story and passion as well. Barbara Federepo is a teacher, a speaker with a passion for connecting with internationals and sharing the gospel through relationships and community outreach. And she is a certified teacher of English as a foreign language to speakers of other languages, and teaches pronunciation and other English classes at Connections International. It's a nonprofit organization where she's the outreach director and works with Stadium Village Church in partnership with activities and helping students as they arrive and their families to pursue their educational and professional goals. And we also want to mention that Barbara serves as the Midwest representative to Building Bridges Community of African Christian Fellowship, USA. Tim Grundens has been married to his wife, Kathy, for, 11-plus years, maybe 12, maybe now. Three children, and he's executive director of the Hospitality Center for Chinese. HCC shows Christ's love through hospitality to Chinese students and scholars. He was a building contractor until just a year or so ago, and has moved into this as a full-time ministry. Bob Osborne is the founder and executive director of the Wilberforce Academy, an organization whose mission is to train college students, especially international students, to be redemptive change agents in their home societies and workplaces. And previous to that, Bob was executive director of the McLaren Institute. It's a Christian study center serving the University of Minnesota campus community. And Lowell Busman is a pastor with Stadium Village Church, now focusing on reaching and serving international students. Previous to that, he was a professor, had a professional career teaching, and also research in agricultural studies. And he's a farm boy, man of my own heart. So that is our group. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome one and all to Connecting Faith.
Thank you.
Kathleen, well, mate, we're just going to start with you. I know that you want the others to take the lion's share, but we'll just give you maybe the opening statement about you know, why this has become such a passion for these group of your dear friends and for you, and how it became maybe a strategic ministry for Stadium Village Church.
Well, Neil, you know that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are commanded to obey. And the Lord's greatest commission for us is to go out in the world and make disciples. And the world's a big place, and it's hard to get to every place. But the world has come to our doorstep here at the University of Minnesota and community colleges all around your listening area. And so it's very easy to go to the world when the world has come to us. And having lived in other countries, I understand the importance of friendship, someone reaching out and helping you figure out bill paying and insurance and all the little details of life, how to go shopping. That's can be different in other countries. And so I'm committed myself after struggling through a year of living in France with four kids and pyromaniacs starting a fire in our house and traffic accidents and all sorts of living situations. I'm committed to helping people live in America in victory and get to know our Savior.
Ultimately, that is the goal. But as you said, and I'll let others kind of chime in, that this is about friendships, isn't it? That's really at the heart of what this ministry is all about.
Absolutely. That's, I know that in my work at the university, I've been here about 30 years, I've seen that friendship over and over and over again is the thing that attracts international students to the Savior. There are other avenues, but friendship is an extremely powerful way. And the text of Scripture says, for example, in Leviticus 19, that we should love the stranger in our midst. So let us do that.
And there are, as Kathleen, you mentioned, they're coming to us. Give us, let's maybe go around. I mean, Barbara or Lowell or Tim, you can all jump in as well if you'd like. But give us a little sense about maybe the typical international student profile. And is it maybe the same today as it was, 10, 15, 20 years ago?
Well, I can't speak for 10 or 15 years ago, but the statistic I quote over and over, I think every day of my life, is that 80% of these international students will come to the U.S. and they will leave after 1 year, 2 year, 4 years, and never enter an American's home. The overwhelming majority don't make an American friend. And I've been overseas. I know how lonely it can be. And I think what a great opportunity that we have missed as Christians to not show Christ's love through hospitality to international students. These students are they are in a foreign place. The U.S. is a strange place to people who are not from here, and they need help. They need friends, and 80% of these students will go home without ever making a friend, ever being or without ever being invited into an American's home. And so it's simple needs that we're trying to meet in these international students.
As one of my mentors said, Kari Malcolm, all you need to do this ministry is a kitchen table.
Well, speaking specifically about the University of Minnesota, which is a major research institution, it attracts a lot of international students and scholars. And we host about 5,000, over 5,000 international students and scholars. And because this school is so well known, we have a lot that come particularly for the health sciences, biological sciences, engineering, and physical sciences. But however, there are many other subject areas. But nearly 70% are from Asia, and about one-third are from China. So Chinese students represent the largest student group that we have. And a lot of them are international in the graduate programs, visiting scholars. We also have families that are also here with their students. The important thing about this is that all of them thrive on building relationships with them. And so that's what's so important, not whether they're in a major research program or whatever. They want ordinary, everyday relationships. And this is what's very important.
And I'd also like to add that the overwhelming majority of these students speak impeccable English. And so I was terrible in Spanish in high school, and I work for the Hospitality Center for Chinese. I speak five words of Mandarin, and even those I don't speak well. And but the overwhelming majority of these students, they speak almost perfect English. And so we have this opportunity to be a friend. We have this opportunity to share the love of Christ. And you don't have to learn Mandarin to do it.
I was thinking, too, even as you indicated, that graduate studies, so maybe a little older than these aren't necessarily college freshmen, although I'm sure there's some of those as well, but also families. So there are spouses and children, right?
Yeah.
And grandparents.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Parents.
Actually, we are seeing a lot more, especially Chinese freshmen coming.
Okay.
And they come into the airport like 3 a.m. in the morning. And, you know, they don't really know what they're doing or how to get to any place. And God bless those volunteers that go to the airport at that time to pick them up and are willing to wait there when their planes are delayed. But it's a sacrifice of love, but it really does pay off.
Another trend that is different is that many of them come from families that have money. And so some of their goals and interests are different than other students. And as Tim mentioned, they speak English well, but they're also interested in interrelating with younger students also. So we are encouraging, if there are any young people out there listening, that we want you to be involved in building relationships with international students.
Actually, the research shows that the biggest felt need of international students here in terms of relationships is with fellow American students. That's what they crave that intensely. And they don't get it, especially if they're from East Asia.
So they're looking forward to that. It's really the door is open.
Yeah, and if you're a college student, an American college student, they want to know you. They want to be your friend.
Good.
It's a great opportunity to share the gospel.
One comment I was making, too, is that the population has changed over the years. When I was getting my degrees from, like, Iowa State, many of the students that I knew, because they were in my office, in my lab, were from the Middle East. And there's been a gradual change away from that and more toward East Asia. But there's still people all over the world that come to these institutions around the Midwest. And also not only to international students because of coming as a student, but also keep in mind your immigrants and your refugees are international students as well, and they're coming to school, and they need the same kind of help and so on that an international student does.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break and come back and talk more. We want to get into some specifics, and as we talk, I'll tell some stories about relationships built and established, and maybe just ways that you can open up your kitchen table, or maybe just hop in the car and pick someone up at the airport and to make a lifelong friend as we talk Ministry to International Students. And there's some important opportunities coming up here in these strategic days as campuses kind of get full life. Here is everybody coming back to school, talking with a group of friends in the studio today, Kathleen McCosco, Barbara Federepo, Tim Grundens, Bob Osborne, Lowell Busman. They're all involved in the Ministry to International Students in one way or another. And we'd love to have you join the conversation, too, if you have a question or maybe a story. Or maybe you are an international and were befriended and it made a difference in your life. We'd love to have you join the conversation. The number is 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. It's 19 past the hour. It's Connecting Faith, talking today about great outreach opportunities to share the love of Christ with the world that has come to our doorstep, literally. We're talking about international student ministries today with Kathleen McCosco, pastor of Stadium Village Church. Barbara Federepo is a teacher and a speaker. She works with Connections International. It's a nonprofit organization where she's outreach director. Tim Grenitz is executive director of the Hospitality Center for Chinese. Bob Osborne is the founder and executive director of the Wilberforce Academy, and their organization's mission is to train college students, especially international students, to be redemptive change agents in their home societies and workplaces. Lowell Busman is now on pastoral staff at Stadium Village Church after a professional career in teaching and research and agricultural studies. In fact, Lowell, you were a farm boy and working in ag studies. How did you get called or decided to sort of jump into this ministry?
Yeah, Neil, like I said, I grew up on a farm in southwestern Minnesota, and we didn't have a whole lot of diversity there, but we had some, actually, because we actually had a radar base next to us that we actually had some internationals come because of that, but that was pretty rare. But when I went to graduate school at Iowa State, That was our kind of our first introduction into working with internationals. And many of my my advisor, my office mates, were from other countries. And so we got involved in a ministry toward internationals, International Students Incorporated. And my wife especially got involved in, like, cooking classes, helping them just kind of get acclimated to living in America and learning how to buy food. Coming from often from a Muslim background, they would provide kind of like an all-women's environment where they could just relax and ask questions. And we would make friends with the family then and that kind of thing. And that's my first really introduction in international ministry. Then a similar thing happened at Oklahoma State. And again, a lot of people from the Middle East, but the same kind of ministry there we got involved in working with internationals and sharing the gospel and just being friends and just having a good time, just getting to know people. It was really good.
I'm sure you you know, have encountered people along the way who say, you know, I don't think I could ever do this. I mean, just, you know, what do you say?
It is easier than you think.
Okay.
Like it was mentioned earlier in our conversation that a lot of times the English that they come with is very good. And therefore, conversing with them, I mean, they don't know some of the nuances and, you know, the colloquial statements we make. But they're pretty good at just understanding and talking with you. And so it's actually a joy. It's like you learn about another culture. You just get to know people from another part of the world that, you wouldn't have met otherwise. And at times sharing Christ with the international is sometimes easier than sharing Christ with your next-door neighbor, because your next-door neighbor might be offended by saying something about Christ. Well, international student, they're often just curious about what makes the United States work. And why did they do so well? And why is Christianity this thing in America that is so well received in places? And so they're just often curious, and they're willing to talk about religion. And so it's often it's an easy thing to share Christ with an international student and just show the love of Christ to them.
You know, China has an ancient history, very old. And they're just amazed that this upstart new country is where we are and what makes us work and tick. And we know that really the Protestant work ethic has a lot to do with what happened to America, as Bob Osborne teaches about so frequently. Yeah. But they are really curious. And if your listeners out there are curious about other countries, this is a great way to learn of the world for our children. Our kids ate at the dinner table with people from all over the world, and their geography got better. And we named our dog after a Moroccan word because we had a Moroccan living with us. And just all those kinds of things. And people love to talk about themselves. I mean, you know, a lot of times we have to ask Americans not to talk so much about themselves, but internationals want to hear it.
Yeah. And one of the things you can do when you're talking and meeting with these international friends is simply ask questions. Not as if it's an interrogation, but if you just began to pose questions about what it was like to grow up in their home. Just have them sort of tell stories about what it felt like to grow up home. What do they love most about their home society? What is the thing that they wish could be changed?
And now
you're into the gospel, I can promise you, if you take
now
that
with
out.
Google Maps, every now and then I'll have a student at home and I'll say, okay, let's go to your house. We look at it from above. Now we get the street view. Now show me how you walk to school. And I walk to school on looking at the buildings that the student looked at. And it's just like I was there almost.
Yeah. Maybe one of the most difficult things in getting involved is just making that first step. Well, how do I meet an international student? And that's why we're kind of here today, because all the organizations we represent are really organizations that help make that connection possible. But it's like almost like a group date. If you come together into a party or something like that, then all of a sudden the connections become kind of natural, because it is kind of hard. Well, how do I meet an international student if I'm just living someplace in the area? And so these organizations offer ways of making that connection.
Which I guess brings up a question. Is it valuable to be involved in something where there's group activities as opposed to one-on-one? I mean, is that the place to start? Or?
Well, I think it's harder to do anything new if you're by yourself. Yeah. And for me, going overseas for the first time, I did it with a group. And if I was all by myself, it would have been a whole lot harder. And so my suggestion is you go to your missions pastor, your pastor, and try to get some of your friends together to be on mission in reaching out to the world. And so I would suggest going with some of your friends. So I've been married now 11 years, and I have three little girls who I love with all of my heart. And one of the most exciting things about international student ministry for me is this is something I can do with my family. And I've done drug and alcohol addiction recovery meetings, and you know, a lot of ministry I couldn't do with my family. But now I get to bring my three little girls, and they show the light of Christ, I think, better than I do sometimes. And so bring your family, bring your kids, bring your spouse, and go together as a group. And there's several great organizations out there that can help get your feet wet with reaching out to international students. It doesn't matter what campus you're on, doesn't matter what city you're in. I know that this goes out to a lot of other cities other than just the Twin Cities. There are international students at every university in your listening network. And so go to your missions pastor, go to your pastor, bring your family, and make some friends to change the world.
We have just a minute or so before we need to take a break, but I know there is, for those in the Twin Cities, there is something coming up this weekend, right? Or maybe a couple things. Let's maybe give a little contact information about that first.
Yeah, sure. So it is on our website, but we're partnering with six organizations to pull this event off. It's a great camaraderie we have with other international student ministries. We have a welcome picnic coming up this Sunday, and if you go to hcchinese.org, you go to the event tab, and it'll give you all sorts of information about the welcome picnic coming up. It's right in the heart of East Bank, and we're hoping to have 400, 500 Chinese students there, and all sorts of different churches, denominations, and international student ministries are partnering to pull it off. If you want to volunteer, there's a tab right there that you can click. But if you want to get your feet wet with international students, it's a great way to get involved by coming to the picnic here this Sunday.
hcchinese.org.
That's this Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
So after you worship the Lord, please come and worship him by serving.
Yeah. And there really is a lot of collaboration in this ministry work, isn't it? Where, I mean, you're working together with the fields are white on the harvest, and yeah. You can't do it alone.
We're talking about 600 or so students, and we need hundreds of volunteers to pull this off. So if you're thinking about it, don't hesitate too long.
Yeah, good.
And in the broader sense, we are working, and we can talk more about this later, about a growing collaborative among all of our ministries to work so we can expand outreach to internationals. We need volunteers to help make that happen.
Well, and maybe in your area, you could be a lead person in getting a group together and start an effective ministry. Ministering to international students, but sharing the love of Christ through hospitality, making friends. We're talking about it today. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. If you'd like to join the conversation, you're welcome to listen in and just hopefully allow God's Spirit to touch your heart and your life to plug in. 877-93-FAITH is the phone number. Kathleen McCosco, Barbara Fedorepo, Tim Grundens, Bob Osborne, Lowell Busman, all in studio today as we talk about how God is bringing the world to our doorsteps and opportunities for us to just share his love in practical ways. More coming up in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land.
We're talking about ministry, a unique and strategic ministry to some of the world's brightest and best that have come to our doorstep and are interested and open and hoping to have a relationship with an American, and even more so to understand more about this nation and the heritage of faith that we have, and to be introduced to the love of Jesus. That is the passion of all our guests today. We have a studio full of guests. Kathleen McCosco is pastor at Stadium Village Church. That's a campus a ministry that's near the campus of the University of Minnesota, where they work actively in ministry to international students, one of their key elements there. Barbara Fedorepo serves as an outreach director for Connections International and does a lot of teaching and working with the students and families as they come to the States. Tim Grundens is Executive Director of the Hospitality Center for Chinese. We mentioned the website, hcchinese.org, to find out about an event going on this weekend. Bob Osborne, Founder and Executive Director of the Wilberforce Academy. Lowell Busman is now on pastoral staff with Stadium Village Church. And we're going to have Barbara share a bit about her summer to China. But, Tim, I wanted to maybe start with you here as we come out of the break. And, by the way, our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. If you'd like to add to the conversation. Tim, you were in construction for a number of years. I know you've done some overseas missions trips. What prompted you to say, this is a ministry I need to do full-time?
You know, I always had a heart for the gospel, and I always had a heart for missions, bringing the love of Jesus, the person of Jesus to the nations. But I had a terrible misconception of missions for most of my life, that missions work is done overseas. And I support missionaries. I have many good friends who are all over the world suffering for the gospel, bringing the gospel to unreached people. But my eyes were open about 4 years ago when I found out that we had nearly a million international students from all over the world in our own backyard. And like I said at the opening, I don't need to learn Mandarin to share the gospel. And so for years, I did short-term missions, and I viewed it as a small part of what I did in my life. And then after volunteering for about 4 years with the Hospitality Center for Chinese, they asked me to come on board as executive director, and I'm absolutely thrilled with the work that I'm doing there and the opportunity that I have and the staff that I have there. These are the most influential people in the world. These are the future leaders of countries that we can't go as missionaries to a lot of the countries, but yet they're sending their best and their brightest right to our backyard. And so what really called me into full-time missions here in the U.S. is the opportunity to impact the world, to change the world with the gospel of Jesus, the genuine knowledge of Christ and his love to some of the most influential people in the world. It was out of opportunity that I left the construction industry, opportunity to show the love of Christ.
Thanks for sharing that. Barbara, share a little bit about you. You spent some time this summer doing one of the things that you do a lot is teaching English, right?
Yes. Through the English Language Institute of China, which is a nonprofit that sends volunteers over to China to teach middle school and high school and elementary school English teachers, I was given this opportunity with the support of churches and individuals to go to participate in this program. But one of the big highlights of the opportunity to travel to China is after was making new relationships with these teachers who are on the other side of the world, which are continuing. But also, I had an opportunity to visit some of the students that we have ministered to here in the United States as a follow-up. Just as Paul went to check on followers of Jesus Christ, I also wanted to do it. And so one of the particular students is a family that God sent to Stadium Village Church. The husband received Christ in the U.K., but he came now with his family to the United States as a scholar and a researcher. And he brought his wife and his young son. After they've been here, he asked for prayer for his wife that she would come to know the Lord. And through people rallying and praying, she did come to know the Lord. It's this young woman's life that has transformed through the love of Christ through many individuals and ministries here in the Twin Cities. She herself is a teacher, and she had questions, a lot of questions, and was not sure about God. God used a host, a family. It was a woman who invited her home and took care of their family. And unfortunately, she developed, I believe it was cancer, or had a problem where she had to have her leg amputated. And the testimony and the joy of this woman, despite this challenge, is what ministered to her. They would visit the home. She would see scripture. She would ask questions. And that is one of the things that brought her to Christ. So the influence of host families is very important. The second thing was the love between they were members of Stadium Village Church and also Connections International. She was taking English classes, free English classes through CXI, and the teacher's love that was shared with her. So this was one particular family I wanted to visit. Another challenge that happened to this particular family is she became pregnant with a second child. And usually there's a one-child policy. So this was a problem. It was complicated more than that, and the child had an issue with the brain that might bring the child not to be normal. So there was a consideration of, should I keep this child for the two-child policy reason as well as for the child possibly not having having a normal life. But through the partnership with many believers praying with her through this, God healed that child. And also that child came to life. That child is the light of that family's life. Now, she went home this summer, and I had an opportunity of visiting her and her family. She is and her husband are the only Christians in their family, except for the oldest sister. And the fellowship that I had with that family and with this older sister, and also the opportunity in the two-hour ride where the family took care of me and picked me up at the airport. I experienced Chinese hospitality just as we give it here. I had an opportunity to witness to the university student. Many of the university students came to speak with me in English, whereas the family spoke no English. I was able to speak with these university students and share the gospel in the two-hour ride to the airport with one of the family members. So there are a lot of opportunities for us to be involved here, and we don't know what the influence is going to be on these students' lives. This is a mighty testimony of what God has done in this family's life. And he used people like you who are out there in the listening audience. He can use people like you to be involved in these students' lives and influence nations.
Let me follow up, and you know, Bob, maybe you want to lead on this one too, because you mentioned, Barbara, that you know, they were asking questions. Is that one of the concerns? Like, well, you know, how do I answer some of these questions? I don't know if I know the answers.
Sure. That is one of the issues that everybody's going to face, because that's part of communicating the gospel in a complex, a pluralistic world, and it's not obvious necessarily to many people that what the essence of the gospel is. Some people have questions about the existence of God. Others have questions about science and faith. That's a very common one that we encounter at the university. For a lot of Chinese, they want to know, how will this actually work in practice? It's one thing to talk the theology and theory, but actually, how's it going to work? And I'm a theorist, so I'm actually very happy to stay in theology and theorists, and I could be there till the end of time. But actually, most of them want to know, does it work in practice? And what the Chinese discover, as well as other international students, is that Christ not only transforms your heart, but he reconciles your relationships with other people. At least he begins that process. He also obviously isn't forgiving you of sin. This is all part of what the atonement is about. So we do try to, each of us in our own ways, try to help our volunteers and people we know to understand some basic answers to the kinds of questions that these students will ask. And it's exciting to say that there are answers.
Yeah.
And then if they're curious enough, they might want to open a Bible. And we encourage them to read the Bible in their own language. Most of them want to read in English because they want to improve their English. There are simple Bible studies online, 5-lesson Bible studies that open their eyes to see what it's all about. There's many resources we have available online.
And can I add that loving international students, it's not just conversion. And this is something I talk to with all of my volunteers at the Hospitality Center. People are not projects. And when we get international students coming to our website, coming to our building, we're right on the University of Minnesota. They come without a bed. I had a student come. She had no blanket. It's the middle of winter. You can't bring a blanket in your suitcase overseas, right? And so I think if we reexamine the gospel a little bit, we realize that, yes, we need to share the truth of the gospel. We need to share who Jesus Christ is. But Jesus met the needs of the masses, And so I know all of these organizations. We help in providing very basic needs, relational needs, food needs, furniture needs. It is an inroad for the gospel, but these are not simply projects. You know, we don't have access to 6,000 projects at the University of Minnesota. We have souls that have very basic needs that Jesus wants to meet and who Jesus wants to meet personally.
I can give a great example of that. One of the ways that I got into international ministry was by marrying an international student from Nigeria. And when my husband came, and this was many, many years ago, he got stranded at the airport, and he had no means and he had no winter clothes, nothing. This was January 1st, and somebody didn't meet him at the airport. And so God connected him by telephone. Somebody referred him to a couple who had been missionaries in Nigeria that were befriending African students in New York City. And through that, he immediately took my husband in. My husband was not a believer at that time, and through their prayers and their counsel as a host family over time, he came to know the Lord many years later. But as we mentioned, the needs of international students vary and are different. So that for African students, it's the need for winter clothes. It's the need for visitation, because that is something that's very natural to them, for people to come and visit them and to take to assist them with various problems of adjustment in this culture. As a black person and as an African, their challenges are quite different. And so we partner with many organizations, one being the African Christian Fellowship of the Twin Cities, and we need all kinds of volunteers to assist us in ministering to students from many other countries. Thank you.
Good word. All right, let's take a quick break and come back. We're going to talk about some, you know, we haven't touched on food a lot, and we'll say a little bit about that, maybe some things that we should do, some things we shouldn't do. We'll find out more. We're talking ministry to international students, but sharing the love of Christ. And really, maybe it's just a little refresher lesson on hospitality today, which we could all use. Thanks for tuning in and joining with us today. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number. We'll continue in just a minute.
The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire.
Well, it's 47 past the hour, talking today about hospitality, sharing the love of Christ to those that have come to our doors. International Student Ministries is our focus. Kathleen McCosko's pastor at Stadium Village Church there in the Twin Cities, right next to the University of Minnesota, and the church is all about ministry to international students. She understands it well, having lived in a foreign land with four children and has been a high school exchange student, a foreign college student. Knows a lot about that. In fact, her and her husband, a professor, they live on the campus and rent rooms to international Christians living in the community there. Barbara Federepo is with the Connections International. It's a nonprofit organization where she's the outreach director. She's a teacher, speaker, passion for connecting internationals and sharing the gospel. Tim Grundens is executive director of the Hospitality Center for the Chinese. Bob Osborne's founder and executive director of the Wilberforce Academy. Their mission is to train college students, particularly internationals, to be redemptive change agents in their home countries. Lowell Busman is now on pastoral staff of Stadium Village Church after a professional career in teaching and research and ag studies. And I wanted to ask you, and you can decide maybe who will jump in first, but talk about maybe food, an important part of hospitality, but are there some do's and don'ts when it comes to sensitivity toward other cultures and ways that we could make a positive impact?
Well, very simply, the quickest way to impact someone's heart is through their stomach. Mm-hmm. Good Scandinavians know that well. Most churches know how to do potlucks well. The same principle applies to those from the rest of the world. John Maxwell says no one cares what you know until they know that you care. So one of the very basic first steps is have a meal. Culturally share what American food is gently, graciously, and then be willing to step out of your own comfort zone. The international students that we've hosted have all cooked for us or wanted to cook for us. So try something new and step out of the box of the food that you eat.
One trick is if you're having Asians for dinner, always have white rice.
Yeah, simple thing, but makes a difference. Yeah.
There are also opportunities for you to be involved in this with a group. For example, your small Bible study, your class, your class at church, Sunday school class, or a group of friends. You can partner with us coming in to serve or to help cook or to make dishes for group activities. The various ministries that are many of them do very large group dinners. Where you can come in and just sit at a table and bring food and help clean up, those kinds of things. This could be something that you could do with your small group.
Well, that actually brings up a good point, because Jane had called in from St. Paul, said, I'm in a small church group and wondering what are some opportunities for us to serve. Her family has hosted international students in the past. Specifically, she's wondering if there's a contact number to call, or how do families begin the process of hosting?
Well, it is a collaborative effort, and I want to make sure I emphasize that no one of our organizations does everything perfectly by any stretch of the imagination. We all work very hard to work in collaboration with one another. We do have a link on our website, and we... have taken the lead on hosting Chinese students specifically. So hcchinese.org would be a great place to go if you want to host some Chinese students. And if you want to host students from one of the other over 100 countries of students that are coming to the Twin Cities, we can get you connected with other organizations and other churches to do that. I know China Outreach Ministries is also on the University of Minnesota. They have a... they have a meal monthly. We have a meal monthly. So if you want to come with your Bible study or small church group, you can come to any of those and we can get you connected. And I'd be happy to pass you along to other great organizations, even outside of the Twin Cities, if you want to get involved on a campus outside of Minneapolis, St. Paul.
And just for those in the Twin Cities mentioned, there is the picnic this weekend, right? It's a Saturday.
Sunday. And so after most, we'll go to church in the afternoon, right in the heart of East Bank. We're going to have some live music. We're going to have food. And it's a great place if you've never reached out outside of reaching out to your neighbor, if you haven't ever reached out to an international student. It's a great place to get your feet wet with that. We'd love to have you.
And thinking about probably holidays, too. We should talk about food, maybe, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, too, right?
Yes.
You know, a new trend that we've seen in the last few years is many international students go to community colleges before they end up at the larger universities. And so if you live in a place where there's a community college, call and ask if they have an international student advisor. And I'm sure they'd be delighted to hook you up with some students there.
Yeah, speaking about holidays, a number of our organizations arrange for host families for the Thanksgiving dinner. You're preparing Thanksgiving for your whole family. This is an excellent opportunity for you to invite a single, or we usually match them, one or two students, or it could be a family, to come to your home to experience what an American Thanksgiving is and how the love of Christ is shared as you eat together and speak together and talk together. And we will arrange it.
We want to make sure that we talk about some prayer needs and what you're hoping that what could maybe cast a vision for what it would look like if, you know, the church in our listening areas really caught the vision for sharing the gospel in this really strategic way.
You know, international students really wonder how we live. And inviting them into your house, we had one volunteer who brought them into her house, and she opened every cupboard door to show them what was inside. I've been to international homes across, you know, the ocean and other countries, and I've always wondered, how do they do things? What tools do they like to use in their kitchen? Sometimes houses don't have much storage space. How do they manage? It's very interesting to see how people live, and it's a way to love them by showing them how they can live better in the United States.
One prayer thing to think about, too, is that pray for the international student to have an open heart that the Spirit does his work. Because we had been talking about earlier that the spiritual journey is a long one often. We had one person that come to Christ from China, and she just said, it was such a long journey. You took me from believing there is no God, believing there might be a God, to believing that he might be personal, to believing that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that he died for my sins, that he rose again, and he's coming again. She said that was a long journey. So there's a lot of prayer that's needed in helping a person come to those steps of faith. And just be patient that they might come to your home several times and just ask a few more questions and a few more questions. But it's a long journey, often a long journey.
Neil, I'd like to add that my heart is grieving for all the refugees that are ending up in Europe. And I pray that your listeners will be in prayer about that, that the Christians in those countries in Europe will see the opportunity that God is giving them to open up their hearts and lives and pocketbooks to help these thousands of people that are homeless now. And at least what we can do here is pray. Pray that that would happen.
And pray for, now bringing this back home again, I would say that one thing also you can do is just pray for your pastoral leadership in your church to catch the vision themselves for the international students that are at our doorstep. We really do want to help mobilize the church to effectively reach out, and we think a key to that is to have pastoral leadership which catches the vision.
And as we said, I mean, so few have never even met an American, and much less going to church with someone.
One person in a church can make such a big difference. They can ask their friends to have open up their homes for one meal, and then they could pray about it. They could even have an activity that they could do together. We find square dancing is a great activity for internationals because the commands get repeated over and over again. And they realize, hey, I can understand English as I participate in the square dance. And then one thing that's very helpful is to get the American host families together for their own potluck so they can share their stories. And that really helps to affirm what happened and build them up to say, I can do this again.
I'd like to encourage you, perhaps maybe somebody out there is listening, to pray for yourself, that if God is calling you or prompting you to be involved in some kind of way, that the Holy Spirit will help you to take that step and to make contact with us.
Well, I think we'll give the hcchinese.org website, as we've talked about that a couple of times, and there are obviously other places to connect, but that's one place where we could start anyway.
And I might just say that for those of you who are free in the middle of October and would like to bring in international students to hear the gospel from a different perspective in terms of how the gospel shapes the development of the economies of nations, we're going to be having a conference in the Twin Cities, October 16th and 17th on this issue in St. Paul, and would love to have some of you bring students there. They will hear the gospel interpreted through the question of how does the gospel shape the economic future of nations.
And another event that's coming up, if you're not available this weekend, we will have another welcome picnic on September 26th. Where it will be called All Nations Picnic, and which will be inviting international students, scholars, and their families to come together for a welcome. And we need many, many volunteers for that also. So please check the AC's the website that suggests it. And also, you can also go to connections, www.connectionsinternational.org. And we also can connect with you if you're interested in students of other ethnic groups.
Or the stadiumvillagechurch.org sure. website as well.
Okay.
That international picnic in September is going to be held on the St. Paul campus.
Yeah. Our time is gone, but we'll get some links up on our website so you can find out more. And I hope that you will follow up today with us.